Did you have yourself a good 2019 New Year's?
Oh, absolutely. I was at work.
Hey, saving lives, man. That's what you do.
Someone's got to do it.
It is a little depressing, though. The NFL season has come to a conclusion, but the playoffs are here. Yeah, regular season, excuse me. But hey, it's playoffs.
No Raiders, no Dolphins.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Crop and Gab podcast. I'm your host, Sam Cropper, along with my co-host,
Tyler Gabby Gabbard.
And we are extremely excited to be bringing in the new year with some good news. We've kind of updated our equipment, and unfortunately, we have spread a couple thousand miles away from each other, but we're excited. We're going to hit the ball rolling with this upcoming season. We kind of took a big break. That was just personally on me moving down, come across like five states to get down to the beautiful city of Austin, Texas. It took some time, but I'm enjoying my time down here. I can't complain. The barbecue is fantastic. Like, there's no joke about Texas barbecue. It is something else. So, and that is the theme of today's episode, with the conclusion of the 2018 NFL regular season. It's that time of year we unfortunately don't want to see as fans, because we love football. But I mean, it is time to get down to business and crown ourselves a champion of the 2018 season.
Hate to see the regular season go, but love to watch it leave with the playoffs around the corner.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're kind of going to start this episode off going back over our division winner predictions. For the most part, they seem pretty spot on. There's just kind of a few kind of hiccups, you could say. I remember like choosing the Chargers to win the AFC West. That was kind of a false. They were competitive, but kind of didn't see Patrick Mahomes. Yep, kind of didn't see Patrick Mahomes coming out and lighting the NFL on fire, pretty much. So that was something else. The AFC East was pretty much, we both agreed on that one with the New England Patriots. They just did what the New England Patriots do towards the end of the year. Just always have that 10-win season, and the division as a whole. I know you're a Dolphins fan, doesn't quite catch up and compete with them every year, but I mean, you guys did have a beautiful win down in Miami, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought that was going to be the tides returning in the division. You might see that one decline that everyone's been praying for, that Tom Brady finally falls, but it just didn't quite happen.
10 years now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So for the AFC South, we predicted the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they unfortunately went back into the toilet, you could say. Blake Bortles took a huge step back. Leonard Fournette wasn't anything spectacular this year. That defense had some moments of brilliance, I guess you could say. I remember they did shut the Colts out pretty handily down in Jacksonville and stuff like that. They had some good wins, but I mean, overall, just not consistent enough to bring back to the division championship again in the playoffs.
Not even competitive in that division at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, we get to the AFC North. I think you and I were both in a kind of agreement that the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to win that division, and it was anything but the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had a lot of I guess you could say that division was probably the one with the most turnover, I guess you could say, from like the dominant team to uncertainty, because I mean, the Browns have always been kind of the basement team in that division, then all of a sudden they bounce back and they were very, very competitive this year. I mean, give or take a few games, they could be in the playoffs, which the city of Cleveland with LeBron leaving, with Hard Knocks being a big part of that season, you can your head coach. You got Baker Mayfield doing the stare downs, calling out coaches. It was a crazy season for the Cleveland Browns. What are your thoughts on the Browns this year?
6 wins. I mean, really, could it have been much better?
Yeah, I mean, they're looking up. I mean, that defense has got some young talent on it. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to as a Browns fan, which they haven't been able to say for a good while. So
a long, long time.
Yeah. So now we're gonna have to jump over to the NFC teams that we I remember choosing. I chose the Giants. That was when we kind of differed on in that setup. I remember choosing the Giants because I mean, I really thought that they kind of nailed the draft, nailed free agency, getting a Pro Bowl left tackle, then taking that guard Hernandez out of UTEP and stuff like that, and drafting Saquon Barkley. I thought they were gonna be a lot more competitive than what we thought they were going to be, and unfortunately, it still wasn't what they wanted. I can't remember which who you chose for the NFCs. Was it the Cowboys?
I believe I chose the Cowboys. Yes.
Well, you were.
I know it wasn't the Giants. It was either the Cowboys or the Eagles. I believe Cowboys though.
Yeah. So you were definitely right on that end. Which for the NFC North, I chose the Vikings. I can't remember who you chose. I think you might have chose the Packers, maybe. But
I did definitely choose the Packers.
Yeah. So we both are pretty wrong on that one. Because I mean, that division kind of. Flipped itself around by the time we did our predictions when they got a good old Khalil Mack from the Raiders. So, I mean, he essentially. Go ahead.
No, just Khalil. That's it. Yeah. Dude's a beast.
Yeah, essentially, he pretty much kind of turned the whole crown, I guess you could say, of that division with his presence. I mean, you saw opening Sunday night football game, the Bears were absolutely taking it to the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers kind of came out of nowhere, probably with like a penicillin shot in his leg, and he just somehow was able to pull out a victory and stuff like that. And then the Bears just played phenomenal defense. I believe they finished top five in almost every statistical category. And it just shows how like much of a game changer good old Khalil Mack is. So
that Vic Fangio defense is for real.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll absolutely get after the quarterback. They'll get after who's ever in front of them. I mean, and actually I was kind of surprised. Their secondary actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because, I mean, they took Eddie Jackson out of Alabama, I remember, two drafts ago. And then they got Prince Mukamara. I think it was Kendall Fuller.
Better than he has in his entire career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to Prince Mukamara.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, secondary kind of stepped up. Because, I mean, when you get good pass rushers, the secondary needs to hold up on the back end and stuff like that to get a really good complementary defense and stuff. So then we kind of bounced to the NFC South. I chose the Falcons. I can't remember if we were in agreement on this one. But that was a complete different kind of look at it. Because, I mean, we thought the Falcons were going to just essentially keep that high rolling offense that they have. I mean, start off the bat, they kind of lost some key defenders with Keanu Neal and Deion Jones just kind of right off the bat. And then the defense just wasn't the same.
Definitely not the same.
Yep. And kind of the usual where Julio gets like 700 catches in one season, tons of yards, but only scores like 3 touchdowns the entire year. Like, I don't really know how to take the Falcons. Like, do you blame solely on the play calling, or is it just kind of whoever's open kind of gets the rock? Because, I mean, they're kind of hurt with Freeman out. What would your thoughts be of the Falcons?
In particularly their offense or the whole team?
The offense.
I think it has a lot to do with play calling. And I believe their offense coordinator was, what was his name, Sam?
Steve Sarkisian.
That's right.
Mr. Pill Popper himself.
He has already been fired, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Falcons just cleaned house. They got rid of the offensive and defensive coordinator. Looks like they're going to kind of start from ground zero as far as coordinators go. But, I mean, they still have plenty of talent on both sides of the ball. So it could be a really good offseason for them to kind of just clean house.
A lot of talent. They got to get healthy. And that's kind of been the deal with the Falcons for the last, I guess, in the Matt Ryan era. You never really know what you're going to get yet.
True. Yeah, because, I mean, I still remember a few years ago when Tony Gonzalez took free agency and he signed with the Falcons. Like, everyone was like, okay, Falcons are going to be a real deal. They got into the playoffs, but, I mean, they just couldn't get past, like, I think they were a first-round knockout maybe. But, I mean, it's just kind of been up and
– The Falcons can go anywhere from being a 3-4 win team to the Super Bowl, and I feel like you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're gonna. So that was kind of our division breakdown and stuff like that. Then we're gonna go into like who won the division. So for this upcoming season, it looks like the AFC West, the Chiefs won that division. We were close with the Chargers and stuff like that. It was a back and forth battle all year long. Because I mean, both of those offenses have a lot of talent, and I mean the defenses. I think the Chargers have overall a better defense, but I mean the Chiefs played like good defense down stretches to essentially get wins. Because I mean. Like, overall, like, you could put points on the Chiefs, but, I mean, they could get those, like, key turnovers that kind of change the momentum of the game. And, you know, their offense can pretty much score with anybody in the league. And they showed that, like, in New England, where Mahomes put up, like, 40-something in Foxborough, and they only lost by, like, 3 just because they couldn't get a couple more stops. But, I mean, it was a very nice, battle for between those teams because, I mean, the Chargers, they've been kind of, like, in the middle of the road. I mean, last year they finished, I think it was, like, 8-8 or 9-7. And, I mean, they drafted pretty well. They got a couple of young bucks. Derwin James, who I thought was a fantastic product out of Florida State.
One of the steals, I'd say.
Yeah. He was all over the field for them on defense. I mean, And of course, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, those guys are phenomenal weapons for Phillip Rivers in that offense. So
making things easy for Phillip, for
yep.
sure.
Yep. And then we jump down to the AFC East, kind of go back to Patriots, kind of showing how the Patriot way is still kind of reigning supreme in that AFC East. So there's not really much to say. I don't really have much to say about it. I know you have a lot more to say about that because you are a Dolphins fan, so I'll kind of let you take the AFC East.
You know, the AFC East, for the last 10 years, it's been the Patriots show. And really, more like the last 20 almost. Somebody has to step up. The Jets did for a little bit there in, what, 2011 to 2014.
Yeah.
The Bills have kind of been consistent garbage for a while. That might be changing under Josh Allen, though, because that guy's got a big arm and a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins have always kind of played that second fiddle role. We're going to be okay, but not good enough to challenge the Patriots. So someone's got to step up.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's not going to happen until Tom Brady and Belichick leave, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a sour taste in my mouth, but that's the reality of the situation right now.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, but I mean, hopefully for the rest of it. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think Josh, he's offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, do you think he leaves this offseason for a head coaching gig?
Well, I've heard rumors that the Packers are in order. Because, I mean, I think Josh McDaniels does need a pretty good quarterback to be successful. Because, I mean, you saw those years in Denver where he had good old Jake the Snake Plumber. They were decent on offense, but, I mean, there was nothing consistent to, like, win divisions and stuff like that. They were, at best, usually, like, a 9-7, 8-8 team. So, I mean, if he does go to Green Bay, I mean, he'll have Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, we've always kind of held Aaron Rodgers to the same level of standard as Tom Brady. So, I mean, as long as he has, I think, a really good quarterback and he can just kind of run the offense his way and he has to nail it on a defensive coordinator because, I mean, he has to have somebody on the defense side of the ball that'll get those guys in order, play sound defense because, I mean, he's not really a defensive-minded head coach. So, I mean, he kind of just plays off kind of how, like, Sean McVay with the Rams. Sean McVay has complete control of that offense. Wade Phillips has complete control of that defense. So, in order for Josh McDaniels to be successful, he has to nail it on his defensive coordinator. So.
Same thing. Okay, so you do think he would leave, though?
I think, for the Packers, I think he would because, I mean, with Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, it would have to be the Packers. And if not, he might just sit in New England until Belichick decides to jump on that fishing boat and stay out in the sea forever. But, I mean, it is what it is. So only time will tell.
Okay.
So now we're going to jump into the AFC South. The Houston Texans walked away with that division. I wouldn't say walked away. They had a really good year. I mean, they started off 0-3. Awful. Yeah, they started off 0-3. I mean, Deshaun Watson showed a little bit of rust. I mean, coming off an ACL injury, you're going to be a little bit rusty. But, I mean,
absolutely,
they stormed back in that defense. Is a very good defense, just as well as like Jacksonville's or any other defenses in the league run by Romeo Cornell. They rolled off some wins, and I mean, it was like when you're living it down in Austin and stuff like that, the Houston Texans are actually not bad. Like, I mean, people like the Houston Texans. I mean, they're usually on TV. Like, the Cowboys are on Fox usually, and then the Texans are on CBS, even if they're playing at the same time. So, I mean, the Texans have got some love. Deshaun Watson, I absolutely love Deshaun Watson. He's a phenomenal young quarterback in this league. I think he kind of holds onto the ball a little bit too long. But, I mean, if he kind of gets into kind of those, like, rhythm passing games where he's not holding the ball long, his career could be extended and the Texans could be a force to be reckoned with. And, of course, we got our good old buddy DeAndre Hopkins, who's kind of like the silent assassin, I guess you could say. He just puts up numbers.
Zero drops.
Yep.
Zero drops this year. Yeah. I want to say 115 receptions, something like that.
Yep.
Zero drops.
Yep. He is a phenomenal talent, and I absolutely love the fact that he's not like the big prima donna kind of wide receivers. But he will talk some trash because I do remember when A.J. Bouye went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was just like, yeah, A.J. Bouye better cover me because Jalen Ramsey can't. And I mean, but when you saw those two like go at it on Sundays, it was a pretty good battle. I mean, I mean, Jalen Ramsey decides to like never put his mouthpiece in, but I mean, he's still, it's back and forth. They are definitely fiery competitors, and it's fun to watch when those two are going at each other.
Absolutely. That's one of the best best matchups I can think of in the NFL at any position.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're going to jump to the NFC North. The Baltimore Ravens, with Lamar Jackson taking over midway through the season, got into the playoffs by beating the Browns on week 17, and that was a pretty exciting game because, I mean, you had C.J. Mosley with that game-ending interception, and it pretty much, like, kind of rubbed into the Pittsburgh Steelers because, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers were essentially watching the game on the Jumbotron after they beat the Bengals. And
Heinz Field.
Yep. And the Baltimore Ravens essentially slammed the door on the Pittsburgh Steelers and essentially claimed the AFC North.
Why did the Browns not kick that ball? It was a long field, but you got to kick it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, they didn't make the play. So, I mean, the Ravens are in. So, I mean, it's going to be a good playoff season for them. So now we're going to jump into the NFC West, where we've got the good old Los Angeles Rams walked away with that division. Todd Gurley, Jared Goff and company and all of them. Again, fantastic on offense, and they made some key signings and essentially built a really good, strong defense for Wade Phillips to run.
How pissed off are you if you are a resident of St. Louis right now?
You're pretty fired because actually my new manager down here, he's from the St. Louis area, and he does not like the Rams anymore. He's done with them, so he's kind of boogied on with his wife, and they're now Saints fans. So she was a grown-up Saints fan, so he's going to tag along with that because he's absolutely done with the Rams. So, I mean, to each his own. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, then we jump into the NFC East, where the Dallas Cowboys, and they made a kind of a key signing, and I know this kind of jabs into Raiders fans' hearts. They made a key trade where they gave up a first rounder for Amari Cooper, and he paid immediate dividends for the Dallas Cowboys and essentially gave them that good push, gave Dak a weapon to essentially get into the playoffs. They just had to essentially outlast the Eagles because, I mean, the Eagles kind of went back to Nick Foles and kind of tried to make that little push towards the end. They did make it to the playoffs, but, I mean, they couldn't quite get into the division crown. But, I mean, Cowboys made their moves, and it paid off for them.
Amari Cooper, man, what a trade. Made Jerry Jones look like a dang smartest guy in football.
Yeah, but, I mean, I will personally say this as a Raiders fan. Like, with Amari Cooper getting traded, I kind of could see the writing on the wall. I didn't think it was going to be a midseason trade like this. I thought they were going to let him walk probably in free agency because, I mean, I think Mark Davis is finally seeing what some fans are seeing. Because, I mean, at times, like, you were there with me in Miami when they ran that deep play that Carr got picked off. Xavier Howard essentially came across the field and picked that off because Cooper stopped running his route. I can recall probably throughout the entire time he's been with the Raiders – probably about five or six times where that's happened, where he's just like either run the wrong route, stopped running the route. It's led to a turnover or turnover on downs. Because, I mean, the Browns game essentially probably on like a Cooper not running the option route correctly because he was in the end zone wide open and he decided to go in instead of out. Like, the Raiders should have lost that game to the Browns. Like, the Browns should have absolutely won that game just on that play alone. I mean, they did get a stop. That was kind of a controversial thing. But, I mean, they still – I believe truly that the Browns should have beat the Raiders in week four. Like, it was crazy. And then just, like, Cooper with the drops. I mean, I could kind of see, like, on the right, kind of the writing on the wall, like, no one was going to admit it. But, I mean, I had a feeling he was on his way out. He didn't seem like he wanted to be there. And, I mean, if a guy doesn't want to be there, he's not going to give the perfect effort to want to stick around. So, I mean – he's in a better place with Dallas. I mean, I wish him nothing the best, even though I'll admit I'm a little salty, but I mean, I wish him the best because, I mean, I don't want to be that salty fan that just like burns his jersey because I think that's absolutely idiotic. But I mean, it is what it is, and he's kind of rejuvenated his career. He'll probably get a really big contract coming up after his rookie contract's up. So, I mean, he'll probably be in Dallas for years to come. So Cowboys fans should be excited. Cowboys fans should be excited.
That worked out for both sides. You get a first rounder and get rid of a player that didn't want to be there. And Dallas, I mean, it's obvious to see how Dallas won that. So,
yep. Now we jump into the NFC South, where the New Orleans Saints have won that division again. And, I mean, their offense with Drew Brees and company was fantastic again. I mean, the defense was better this year. I mean, they didn't, like, lose any games on a fluke missed tackle, the Minnesota Miracle. But, I mean, there's still playoff time. So, I mean, stuff like that could happen. I mean, they had a lot of – I mean, they hit a really good hot streak in the middle of the season. Then towards the end, where they – after they beat the Rams, there's kind of a little lull where they weren't performing.
They took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, which you can't do. I mean, you got to play your best football. I mean, they even let Teddy Bridgewater start week 17 against the Panthers. I know they had it the first round bye completely clinched and stuff like that, but that offense still kind of looked a little flustered. So, I mean, they got to get it figured out, because, I mean, they're going to have home field throughout the playoffs. Like, the Super Bowl for the NFC runs through New Orleans. So, I mean, they got to get that offense in rhythm and keep it going.
Yeah, Sean Payton's got to get it going again. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees are obviously very capable of it. They've been around on a take. It's really, I'm looking at the rest of those pieces around them, see if they're going to buy in.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're going to jump into the NFC North. We got Chicago Bears. And, I mean, I remember my old manager back in Spokane, he gave me a lot of flack for the Khalil Mack trade. And I just said, thank you for the picks. And he's just like, thank you for the best defensive player in the league. And we just kind of went about it. And, I mean, like, you see why people are comparing Khalil Mack to Lawrence Taylor. Because, I mean, he is essentially a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, he sacked Aaron Rodgers this year with his back. Which have you ever seen a guy ever sack a guy with his back?
Never.
That was completely impressive. He finished the year, I think, with 12 and a half sacks. That was a half sack below the entire Raiders team. And, I mean, good old Coach Gruden kind of, to add some salt to that wound, just was like, it's hard to find pass rushers in this league. It's like, oh, buddy. Come on now. You know better than that, so. So that was kind of our breakdown of the division winners and stuff like that. We're going to actually go into predictions from the opening weekend of the playoffs, which kick off this weekend. So, I mean, it's a good time for football and stuff like that.
Great time for football.
But before we jump into those playoff bracket predictions and stuff like that, I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on this. What was your biggest surprise of this year, Mr. Gabbard?
Well, I think it's got to be the Bears. Winning that division. I know when we made our predictions, the Khalil Mack trade hadn't happened yet. But even so, I don't know if I would have picked the Bears to really pick it up the way they had this year. Their offense figured it out under Matt Nagy. Their offense did enough, and their defense played absolutely lights out. A lot of players really stepped up on that Bears defense. Not even talking about outside of Khalil Mack. That whole defense just played awesome all year. And then you have a brilliant offensive mind running enough to win games, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't see that coming out of the Bears.
Yeah, because, I mean, you had Mitchell Trubisky going into year two. So year two for a quarterback is usually kind of it can be a sophomore slump or something can contribute to it. Matt Nagy definitely played to Trubisky's strengths. I mean, a lot of play action, a lot of misdirection, like quick game passing. I mean, you even saw the big man touchdown. I think it was on Monday Night Football. They were playing the Vikings, where they had the extra offensive tackle in, and they threw a pass to him, and he kind of did his little unique dance and stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I would completely agree with you with the Bears, because, I mean, even like drafting a rookie like Roquan Smith, him making a big immediate impact as a rookie. Danny Trevathan, he was healthy this year, so he was making some noise at the linebacker position. Leonard Floyd, the opposite pass rusher. I mean, Akeem Hicks, that defensive line, like once Mack got in there, they were able to win one-on-one battles and get after the quarterback, and that's what you got to do in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That offensive touchdown you were talking about on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
So that was the first offensive touchdown, I want to say, since 2004. In which there was no running back, no wide receiver, and no tight end on the field. Wow. That was cool.
That is amazing. So that was your biggest surprise. I think my biggest surprise definitely had to be Patrick Mahomes. I mean, since last year, he pretty much kind of like learned from Alex Smith, didn't really get a lot of playing time, any action and stuff like that, to essentially light the league on fire and throwing 50 touchdown passes in a year. Like, I know you're preaching for him to go for MVP of the league and stuff like that. We'll go over that later in the show. But, I mean, that was very impressive on his part. Because, I mean, you saw the no-look passing. Just the
left-handed, the left-armed passing.
Yep, the absolute bombs, 89-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill or pretty much anybody that he could throw deep to. He lit the league on fire, and he pretty much I'll eat my words on it because I wasn't expecting that. So, I mean, he absolutely balled out this year, and he was very deserving of that MVP award. So now we're going to jump into our playoff bracket predictions for this opening round and stuff like that. So we're going to start with the NFC. My first prediction, I'm going to go with the Seahawks coming in and beating the Dallas Cowboys on the road in Jerry's World. And I'm probably going to hear about it for a good couple weeks with the Cowboys fans in my area down here in Austin and stuff like that. But, I mean, I truly think that the Seahawks, they do what they usually do when it comes to December playoff pushes and stuff like that. They are hitting on all cylinders, and they're playing some good football.
Okay.
I'm also going to say that the Bears are going to knock off the defending champs at home. So I think Khalil Mack is actually going to absolutely tear these playoffs apart. If the Bears can hold any offense to, say, like 14 or 21 or less, that offense can do enough to win some games for them. It could be coming down to like last-second field goals and stuff like that. But I have all the confidence in the world that Khalil Mack is going to absolutely be a tear in this upcoming playoffs. Now we're going to jump over to the AFC. Okay. Going to jump over to the AFC. I've got the Texans beating the Colts. I believe they split this year, and I think the Colts actually beat them in Houston. So the game's going to be in Houston, but I just think that Houston's going to have that home field advantage. That defense is going to be rocking. I do remember when the Colts and Texans played, Deshaun Watson kind of had a little rough go. But, I mean, I think he's going to be firing on all cylinders and be really ready. And Bill O'Brien's going to get them into a good offensive rhythm early, and they're just going to kind of wear him down. And then last but not least, I'm going to have the Ravens beating the Chargers. I just think that that Ravens defense is going to do enough to hold the Chargers in check, and Lamar Jackson's going to just continue to do what Lamar Jackson does, and they're going to run the football. Because, I mean, since they've taken over, I believe they've led the league in rushing. They average probably like 140 yards a game, and they just absolutely run it down your throat. So now we'll jump into your predictions, Tyler.
So we're 50-50. I agree with you on two. I disagree on two.
Okay.
So I guess I'll go in the same order you did. There's no way Seattle's going to beat Dallas.
Oh.
Not in Dallas. Not on wild card weekend.
Ooh.
I don't think so. If the game was in Seattle, that's very different. But Seattle made a miracle to get to this point even. It ends here, so Dallas is going to win that game. Chicago and Philadelphia, I agree with you. I think Chicago's going to take care of business. That Philadelphia – so there's been reports coming out of Philadelphia for the last few weeks that the Eagles are actually practicing wide receivers at defensive back. That's how depleted their secondary is. Yeah. I don't think their defense can hold against Chicago.
Yeah.
Even with Nick Foles playing out of his mind and, you know, one of the better stories in football right now, but it's done for Philly. Yeah. I also think that Indianapolis is going to beat Houston in Houston. NRG Stadium's going to be rocking. Those Texans fans are for real. But that Indianapolis offense is just nuts right now. It's nuts. They're playing lights out. I got Indianapolis winning that game. And then I agree with you, Baltimore is going to beat LA. Unfortunately, the 12-win Chargers, or excuse me, is it 11? 11-12-win Chargers somehow are a 5-seed and are going to have to go to Baltimore. And that's where it ends for them. This great season is going to end in Baltimore. You got the resurgence of Joe Flacco sitting on the bench, Lamar Jackson balling out. Baltimore wins that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of like when you say like you don't think the Cowboys will win. I'm scared for Dak Prescott, like, to be honest, because I mean, Jason Garrett left him in that last game, and they just did not have a clue on offense. So I think if the Seahawks actually do hold that the offense in check and stuff like that, there's a very good chance with Russell Wilson just playing out of his mind, they could sneak one out in Dallas. So I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be an exciting weekend. So those games kick off this weekend. You've got Indianapolis at Houston. It's going to be about 4:35 on Saturday. It's going to be on ESPN/ABC. You got Seattle at Dallas. That'll be the late game of that day. So it's 8:15 Eastern time. That's going to be on Fox. Then come Sunday, you're going to get the Chargers will be the first game at 1:05 Eastern time on CBS. And then the Bears and Eagles, that'll be 4:40 on Eastern time, NBC. So a lot of good stuff over the weekend. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for these playoffs to kick off. So now we're going to jump into our we're going to have our little regular season's awards. We're not going to cover all the awards. We're just essentially going to probably get over MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then that'll pretty much kind of wrap up this episode, our first episode in 2019, because, I mean, we're excited. So I'll let you go first, Tyler. Who do you pitch your vote for MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Rookie of the Year?
So the MVP, it's fairly clear. Patrick Mahomes. There's no way. This guy is Brett Favre, but better. Okay. He's the wonder kid. He's the gunslinger. This guy's awesome. His first year starting in the league, he goes 12-4, 66% completion, which I do think he can bump up. Over 5,000 yards, 8.8 yards per attempt. And the guy throws 50 touchdowns and near single-digit interceptions. He had 12. QBR all season, 82. This is this guy's first season as a start, his sophomore year. There's no sophomore slump here. There's no first year starting. I can't handle the pressure. This guy is crazy. Maybe the best quarterback in the league right now.
Ooh.
In his second year.
Dang.
Second year. My offensive rookie of the year, it's got to be Baker Mayfield. That's the clear choice. He takes a no-win Browns and wins six games, six of seven that he started. 63.8% completion, almost 4,000 yards passing, and that's not even a full season. 27 touchdowns, 14.7 yards per attempt. It is a game breaker. He's a baller. He's got it. We've been talking about this since he was at OU. Baker Mayfield has it. And the Browns haven't had it for a while. Defensive Rookie in the Year. Here we got Darius Leonard, linebacker out of the one of the U. However, it's the horseshoe. He led the league with 111 solo tackles, 163 total. This guy's out of South Carolina State. Seven sacks. This guy's a stud, and he's going to be for a long time.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that one. So kind of my predictions. So I disagree with you just solely on the MVP one, and then I have my different rookies of the years. But, I mean, I truly believe, and since this is something we haven't seen probably since Reggie White, I truly believe Aaron Donald is the MVP of this year. You get 20 sacks from the defensive tackle position, and, I mean, his play, if you just like turn on the film and just watch, even the plays that he's not making, he is absolutely throwing offensive linemen away. He is absolutely dominating the defensive line position. Like, I don't know if, like, I remember the Heisman when Sue was up against, I don't even remember who it was, but Sue was just as dominant how it was for college, and I thought that they should have gave Sue the Heisman that year. I truly believe that the NFL should really take a look at Aaron Donald. I know it's a quarterback-driven league, so it's probably not going to happen. So I completely agree with you that Mahomes probably will, because just the statistical numbers alone. But, I mean, Aaron Donald is just as deserving, in my opinion, because, I mean, we are so about quarterbacks and stuff like that that we don't ever take a look at the other guys that are just absolutely balling out. And, I mean, to get a big contract, this would be the first year of his big contract that he just signed. And he absolutely balled out, proved that he's worth every dollar that he got. It's hard for me not to say that Aaron Donald should be the MVP of this 2018 season. And I'm excited for him to go into the playoffs and continue that dominant streak.
Absolutely.
So then I'll go to my Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley. And, I mean, hats off to Baker. Like, I absolutely believe, like, he is the guy for Cleveland. I mean, he's got that swag that Cleveland has never had at the quarterback position. I couldn't tell you if there was anybody that had more swag than he has as a young quarterback. But, I mean, when you look at Saquon's numbers and stuff, he had over 2,000 scrimmage yards. I mean, he had 11 touchdowns rushing and stuff like that, had tons of receiving yards. And, I mean, I think if the Giants probably would have eked out a couple more games, we'd have a completely different conversation. Because, I mean, you can tell that Saquon is going to be a very dominant player for a good couple, good few years. I mean, with life of running backs, So with the life of running backs, there's always that question, like if he gets hurt once and stuff like that. But I mean, as of right now, Saquon Barkley is a stud, an absolute stud. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is an absolute stud. And I would have picked Mr. Leonard for defensive rookie of the year, but I mean, you took him, so. I mean, just so we don't – like, I do agree he had a phenomenal year, but I have to tip my hats off to Leighton Vander Esch from the Dallas Cowboys and stuff like that. Because, I mean, inserting him, he is just a younger version of Sean Lee. I mean, he's a tackling machine. He's always around the ball. I mean, he is just as smart as Sean Lee, and I think learning under Sean Lee, he's just going to be that dominant linebacker that we probably talk about. Could probably compare to the greatest linebackers of all time. I mean, he's still got to produce the numbers and stuff like that, but, I mean – like with him, Jalen Smith next to each other, those are two high draft pick rookies and stuff like that. Like the Dallas Cowboys defense, like at the linebacker position alone, is going to be a force to reckon. So I mean, I'm excited to watch those guys continue to ball out and stuff like that. So it's going like the Cowboys fans should be excited. Now you just gotta go win that championship and stuff. So
sounds good to me.
Oh man, but I mean, I'm actually very sad that this season's coming to a close, man. Like, I wish we could play 20 games a year, but, I mean, I know that for health reasons and stuff like that, there's no way we'll get to a 20-game regular season and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's football, and it's unfortunately kind of taking a rest for a little bit until the playoff and then the playoffs will kick in. So it's an exciting time of year.
I feel like it was just yesterday. It was week three. We were down in the Sunshine State watching some football.
Yep.
And here we are. Playoffs are starting let's see.
Saturday.
This 48 hours away, really.
Pretty much, yeah. It's an exciting time. Just kind of something that I've kind of come across, and we didn't really kind of put this in the episode, but I mean, I'm going to just kind of dab into it a little bit lately. But I mean, football will not be silent for a complete full off season. I don't know, Mr. Gabbert, if you've heard about the Alliance of America Football League. But that is going to be kicking off this February. So coming around February and stuff like that, we'll be covering some teams. I mean, there's only 8 teams in that league, and it's about a 10-week season and stuff like that. But, I mean, football isn't going to be completely gone for the winter months and stuff like that going to the spring months. So, I mean, it'll be a nice little time to kind of still be able to sit down and watch some football and stuff like that. There's
a little teaser.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces in that league. I know, like, Christian Hackenberg is going to be in that league. Good old Trent Richardson, the blind guy running through the holes, can't see big holes. He's going to be playing for, I think it's the Birmingham squad. Like Bishop Sankey. You and I know Bishop Sankey from high school. We played against him in high school. So, I mean, he's going to be playing down in San Diego. So, I mean, if you guys don't know anything about the Alliance Football League, definitely check it out. I mean, they are kind of blown up on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely a good little like teaser to kind of mend the heart for a little bit as the NFL or the rest of the season kind of just heads down and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I'll be excited in February. And I mean, kind of looking forward to 2019 and stuff like that. We still want to hear all your listener questions and stuff like that. I know we haven't been able to get on record as of lately, but I mean, we still got a lot of drive. We still want to do this. We're kind of working through the kinks and stuff like that, being so far apart. We appreciate all your support and all the plays that everybody listened to us in 2018. Only better things are going to keep coming to you guys in 2019. We're going to keep working our tails off, and we're going to be making some good material for y'all.
You're going to love it.
So just kind of go back over kind of our platforms that we are. You can catch us on. You got the Apple Podcasts, got Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Once again, you can definitely email or anything like that, any questions or any topics you guys want us to talk about on the show to croppinggabpod@gmail.com. It's all one word, all lowercase. So we're definitely excited. So, I mean, 2019 is upon us, and it's – about to get good. Any final thoughts, Mr. Gabbert?
We just love you guys. Thanks for listening. That's it, man.
All right. So now we're going to break it down, and we're going to be signing out tonight. So it was fun, this episode. We'll definitely get an episode probably next week to break down the college football national championship between Clemson and Alabama. This is round 4. This is something you don't see every day. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
Absolutely.
All right. Crop out, baby.
Tyler Gabby Gabbert out.